We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, of course, we are very excited about our next guest. Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, he is a legendary broadcaster and play-by-play man. The great Jim Nance will be on the call this Sunday, 1 p.m., as the Browns play their biggest game in years against the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road, along with Tony Romo and Tracy Wolfson, of course. Here he is, Jim Nance. Jim, how are you? Thanks so much for joining us.
You got me so fired up, as if I wasn't already, for the game. But just hearing the passion and energy coming out of Cleveland, I'm still out west at my home, traveling tomorrow to the Steel City. But, man, it is so exciting to be able to have such a meaningful game in front of us involving the Cleveland Browns. You're right, it's been ages. I would love to know, maybe in your minds, it's the biggest game since when? Because maybe I'll even say that on the air on Sunday. But it is. It's gigantic. Who saw it coming? I mean, after that shellacking week one at Baltimore, you know, I didn't know where this season was going to go. But it's a real four wins in a row and do it the way that the Browns have. It is impressive.
Yeah, Jim, no doubt about it. I mean, at minimum, it's the biggest game since 2014 when they were kind of in the mix late in the year. But really, for me, it goes back even longer. I mean, the Browns haven't really been a contender for the playoffs since 2007. So I would say at probably late that season. I mean, it's been that long. And I know Cleveland holds a special place for you, Jim, and you talked about it. Week one, total disaster. And like last year, total disaster. Our hype was up, and then it was gone. And the way they've slowly built and beat better opponents each of the last 4 weeks – yeah, I mean, this is the biggest game in over a decade. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. I actually had a Thursday night game in that year when Mike Pettine, I believe it was, had him 7-5,
yes,
maybe at one point, 7-4, and they won a game down at Cincinnati on a Thursday night game that we broadcast. And I can remember being a lot of excitement around it. But no, that it wasn't like this. Right?
No,
this team is so much better to begin with. The whole roster, top to bottom, is significantly better. And I remember the 07 team. Believe it or not, the 07 team that finished 10-6, Romeo the coach, and, you know, Braylon Edwards had all those touchdown catches. Derek Anderson was the quarterback. I did one game that year of the Browns, and it was Cleveland at Pittsburgh.
Nice.
Wow.
So here we go again.
Yeah.
Love it. Jim Nance with us on the hotline. Jim, you know, when you look at this year's team compared to last year's team, you know, there's been some upgrades in talent, of course, but there were still the expectations when the Browns traded for Odell Beckham Jr. That was exciting, of course. What do you think the biggest change was, or is, I guess, from last year to this year?
Well, last year I saw the Browns a couple times again, and including week one when Tennessee came into town. And I think the final might have been 43-13. I think it was a 30-point margin, and there was all kinds of excitement going in. That's why this year's week one appeared to be so devastating, because, oh boy, here we go again. And that was kind of the prevailing feeling. But look, I thought John Dorsey did a fantastic job of turning over that roster. And I know John still lives in Cleveland, and I'm not taking anything away from Andrew Berry, because I'm hearing wonderful things about him. But I think that the Browns were putting together a legitimate roster when John got there. I think that was when this became a team that was actually on the path and on the road to doing something special. And I would go through the position groups and I'd say, okay, when they picked up Kareem last year, of course he wasn't eligible to play until the back half of the season. You looked at the running back position. You said, you know what? That's as good as any running back room in the league. Wide receivers, okay. With Jarvis and Odell, you know, they're pretty good. Now I want to remember, everyone to remember that I really do believe they both weren't healthy last year. They played through injuries last year, and that's a little bit underrated in all of this, is that they both didn't have it 100% physically all year. But then you go through the line, you can see the offensive line. Okay, they're getting there. And Baker was coming off a fabulous rookie year that, you know, wasn't there the second year, but you saw the potential. And then you go through the defense, you go through the three different units, and I thought, you know what, they actually, this is a better roster than more than half the teams in the league. They just didn't win for whatever reason. It did not come together last year. Now you come into 2020. You bring in a new coach who's obviously got his act together and is someone that people are recognizing is a pretty darn good hire. And you go accent this with some other guys that you bring in, whether it be Austin Hooper or, you know, need to start rattling off the names. You guys know them all. I think the Browns have a legitimate playoff caliber roster. And I saw it coming together really over the course of the last couple of years.
We're talking with the great Jim Nance. You know it's a big game when Jim Nance is on the call along with Tony Romo and Tracy Wolfson. Absolutely. This Sunday, 1 p.m. on CBS, Channel 19 locally. We're all pumped for it. You know, Jim, you talked about calling one of the Browns-Steelers games in 2007. That year, the Steelers swept the Browns. And even though the Browns won 10 games, they didn't make the playoffs. Had they split, obviously they would have made the playoffs. The Browns have not won in Pittsburgh since 2003. And, Jim, let me give you a stat. You guys can use this on the broadcast. I came up with this one myself. The Browns, all time, in a season in which Pittsburgh went to the playoffs, are 1-27 at Pittsburgh. 1-27 at Pittsburgh in every season that the Steelers went to the playoffs. And this seems
Pittsburgh,
likely.
I'm writing this one down just so you know.
Okay? There you go.
I got my board here in front of me. And I'm writing that one down. Pittsburgh playoff years, 1-27 at Pittsburgh.
At Pittsburgh, yes. They've only won
once.
I think
that's got a very good chance of being on the broadcast. Thank you very much.
Love it. Love it. That's what the Browns are up against here, Jim. This history that they've got to overcome. How big a factor do you think that is?
Well, first off, if they lose the game, I still think they have a great chance to be in the playoffs. So let me just
Agreed.
Say that. Okay, so it's not like the playoffs hinge on this one game. Let's not forget, too, that we have an additional playoff spot as of this year. The owners got that one jammed in and ushered it in right away in their bargaining agreements with the NFLPA. So we're going to go to 7 teams, not 6. So what's it going to take to be the 7th team to get into the playoffs this year? Well, let's first assume there's going to be a 16-game season, which there's a lot of doubt that that's going to be the case. Let's hope so. I think that you're talking 9-7. Unlike your year in 2007, 10-6 probably, I guess they would have been, I have to look it up, they probably would have been the next team in if there were
yes.
7 teams back then. But I think 9-7 is a pretty fair assumption to get you into the playoffs. They're 4-1 right now. Okay, so I really like their chances. I was joking this summer, as you guys know, I spent a lot of time in Cleveland, and we have a second home there. And during the summer, when live sports television came back on the air, I based out of Cleveland for almost 2.5-3 months, and I went in and out of Cleveland every week and spent, you know, Monday through Thursday at home, and then was out to places like Fort Worth and Memphis and Hilton Head and Hartford and Boston and all this, Columbus, Detroit. But it was a great centrally located place, and we were around family, which made it special, and it saved me from having to go coast to coast from California every week like I do during the football and basketball seasons and the rest of the year. So I was playing golf at Sand Ridge one day, and one of the guys in the group asked me, what do you think the Browns are going to do this year? Now, when I'm in Cleveland in the summertime, I get asked that question pretty much every day. But I can still remember, I was walking off the 11th tee, and I don't know why I was feeling feisty, but I made a very bad joke. I said, the Browns are going to find themselves in December as the number one seed in the AFC playoffs, and then there's going to be another outbreak, and they're going to cancel the rest of the season.
Oh, God.
Now, please, don't post that. Don't
go
like crazy on Twitter. It was a joke.
Yes.
Let's hope that it's nowhere close to reality. But, you know, in that little fresh comment I was trying to make, what I was really saying is I thought the Browns are going to have a very good year. And we don't know what the end of the season is going to look like. I think we'll get to the finish line. We've seen basketball and the NHL, different circumstances, different approaches. Baseball's going to get to the finish line, and I think some hell or high water, the NFL will figure out a way, too. It's just what's going to happen when all the bye weeks are dried up for everybody and you have to cancel a game. Do we go to a 14-game season? Do we go to a 15-game season? Do we go to an 18th week of the regular season and scratch out that week in between the AFC and NFC championship games to the Super Bowl? What are we going to do? They're going to figure it out. I'm blown away by how well it's gone, even with all the things that went on with the Titans and that outbreak and the rescheduling of 8 different games last week to keep this thing somewhat on track. I'm amazed at how well it's gone. And when you look at the data of the tens of thousands of tests that go on during the course of a week, as you're testing 120-some-odd people a day at each one of these facilities, not just the players but personnel and all of that, you know, you're getting into like almost 40,000 tests a week. And some weeks it comes back, there's one positive, you know. Last week, of course, there were more with the Patriots and the Titans. But I'm amazed at how well it's gone. But I think we have to think of this. This is I'm getting around somewhat to your question. We don't know if Pittsburgh and Cleveland round two is going to be played. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that's a week 17 matchup, right?
Yes.
I believe Pittsburgh and Cleveland is week 17. We don't know what this season is going to look like. So somewhat to the point here, every game to me right now, when you bank a win, it's huge. Because if this thing gets abbreviated, and that's a possibility, I'm not forecasting it, but if it gets abbreviated, the season, and the league decides, you know what, we're just going to have to go with 13 games, 14 games, 15 games, whatever, and we're going to put teams in a bubble. And again, I have no inside information on this, but these are all swirling about. You just don't know if this is your only shot at Pittsburgh. You just don't know how many wins it's going to take for you to get into the, let's call it the tournament, the playoffs. If you come out of this game and you have a win against Pittsburgh and you're 5-1, I mean, the chances, the odds of you being a postseason team, I mean, they're going to be running, you know, over 80%. And this team, listen, it's legit. Happened to be now, I think, was turning out to be, if not the strongest division of football, it's certainly in the discussion. That's the only problem. Pittsburgh's back. Baltimore is the one seed from a year ago. They're good. The Browns are good. And the Bengals, for starting a rookie quarterback, they're dangerous. They're getting better by the week. They're young, and they don't care. They're not a pushover anymore. So the division is good. And I think with a 7-team AFC playoff picture, yeah, that 3 of the 7 are going to come out of the North.
Agreed. Jim, Big Ben back to being healthy this season. So far, from what you've seen, does he look like vintage Ben, or does he look like he's just getting a little bit older?
No, I think he looks like vintage Ben. It's amazing what a difference one player can make. We all know that this is the most important position in the game, maybe the most important single position, I would say, really, in any team sport. I really would. Just look at what happened without him. Now, they had other things that made their season fall apart, but that was the great majority of the reason why the Steelers last year weren't themselves. And, you know, the other thing is Mike Tomlin has such an amazing ability to produce great wide receivers. He was one himself, as you guys know, in college, that he's able to find guys along the way. Sure, there's been some mishits, but by and large, whether it was Antonio Brown, it was a sixth rounder. I mean, you can go through all these different guys through the years. Moncrief, who gave them some years. Eli Rogers, guys like that who, you know, had a short run but contributed in a lot of wins. He has a knack for finding these Chase Claypools of the world and Deontay Johnsons. You know, it's just, I think Tomlin has a lot to do with that. So now that Ben has his health and he's been able to reload at that position, last year without Ben and without AB, and all of a sudden everybody thought Smith-Schuster is going to be able to carry all that. You know, we found out he couldn't because he didn't have a guy to get the ball to him, and he didn't have anybody else to play off of. They're dangerous. I mean, this Connor's healthy. This Steeler team is very good. You know, the other thing they did last year that looked like a head scratcher is their season was falling apart last year, is when they went out and made the trade for Fitzpatrick with Miami, and you know they gave up a first round pick, and you start thinking, geez. This franchise is sinking. They're already giving away their number one. Well, he's everything that they thought he was when they made the deal for him. Obviously, it was a high first-round draft pick by the Dolphins to get into the league. But the defense has playmakers with Watt and Dupree and Cameron Hayward. And I mean, you know, there's a lot of parts that are still there. You know, Joe Hayden from all those years.
Yep.
And, you know, Tuitt is a force up front. And it just... They're Pittsburgh. If Cleveland wins this game, they're beating a legitimate, like, Pittsburgh team that's capable of winning the conference. And I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of difference between these two teams. I really don't. I see a fearlessness in watching the Browns on tape, watching their game start to finish against Cleveland 2 weeks ago. The thing I like about them the best, aside from their talent level, the way they're playing and running the football and on, I like there's a fearlessness about them. There's a swag. Yeah. There's an attitude. I haven't seen in Cleveland, I don't know, maybe it was 07. There's something different about this team. There's a mojo. There's an attitude, a personality about them that I'd be shocked if they went over to Pittsburgh and laid an egg this week.
We're talking with Jim Nance. Jim, you're 100% right. For years, and Dustin and I, this is our 10th season doing the show together, covering this team, and for years we've been saying this team's always getting the sand kicked in their face, you know, and they never do anything about it. They never look tough. They never fight back. And now that you're right, there seems to be a different attitude. We've seen it. There's games that they've won here in this four-game stretch that they would have lost in the past. A turnover would have done them in. They wouldn't be able to get the first down when they need to seal the deal. And in moments where it's like, oh, here go the Browns again, instead they're finding a way to get that job done. And that's refreshing to see.
I think what we're on here, Adam, is I think we are in the embryonic stages of a new normal. This is what the Browns are going to be like for a long time.
Yeah.
So I know there's some anxiety about, I'm talking about the Browns Nation here. I can sense that we got to go there. We got to prove ourselves. We got Pittsburgh. They're our nemesis. They always beat us. And I can hear all that nervousness. You know, and it is the biggest game in years. But there's going to be a lot of big games coming up for a lot of years. This is the new norm. This is not a team that's lucky to be 4-1. If this team was 1-4, you'd be saying, like, okay, we've, you know, as always, found ways to lose, to your point. But it's good enough, and the attitude, I give Baker, by the way, a lot of credit for this. I do think, you know, people have always had opinions about his boldness,
yeah,
whatever you want to call it, brashness or whatever. But when you start playing well, that's a huge positive. And I think it has an effect on everybody else. So I think, you know, in a word, that it's leadership. It's right. A positive thing. It's now, it's a good thing. He is surrounded by healthy, quality players. He's got a great coach. The staff appears to be rock solid. And like I say, I think that it's a good thing to say. I'm not just trying to say because I'm going into the Cleveland market right now. I really believe that we are at the start, just the start. You're going to see games that are this big for a long time to come. It's going to be big games like this later this season. They're all big. We know that.
Yeah.
It's cliche.
Yeah.
They're all big because you can lose to anybody. But Pittsburgh and Cleveland and Baltimore and Cleveland and out-of-division teams, they're going to be big. There's going to be this roster is built. They got the coach. They've got each position group. If they were 100% healthy, I'd like to have Greedy, playing and some other guys. But they are set. I mean, the puzzle's been put together, and I think Cleveland's going to be a factor for a long time. I'm excited. It's going to bring me back to that area, I believe, many times for years to come, and Tony and I will get a chance to experience it firsthand.
No doubt. And Cleveland, when the Browns are winning, is the best, and you're right. The oldest key player they have is J.C. Treader at 29 years old. Jim, one thing from a broadcast and sort of game perspective, the Myles Garrett story from last year and what happened in that game, is that still a big deal? Do you feel like nationally, story-wise, for you on the broadcast, or is everybody kind of moving on at this point?
It's funny because when you get these stories where there's controversy around them, I get asked a lot, hey, how are you going to handle this, during the game?
Yeah.
And the reality is you have to make mention of it.
Sure.
And I'm sure they'll roll in a replay of it. But the game is – every play is a new chapter. And when the ball is snapped and you get about 120 to 140 snaps per game, both teams combined total, you don't know if that next play is the biggest play of the game. Every play is its own chapter. It might turn out just to be a run into the line for a gain of one, but you didn't know that going in.
Right.
So what happens is stories that have this kind of weight to them, and that was a huge story last year. We all know that. What resulted out of that and the six games that Miles missed the rest of the year, and he's one of the stars of the league. We're going to have to make mention of it. But it's going to be quick, and we're going to go on to the next play and go to a new chapter. We are not there to do Meet the Press. This is not Face the Nation or Issues and Answers. That's the pregame show. The studio has the time to get into those kinds of topics. But you could ask Al, you could ask Joe, you could ask any of the guys that are doing play-by-play that have had during the course of their career any number of off-the-field or on-the-field stories that are headliners. And we all say the same thing because it's true. You have to try to, boil it down to about almost 15 seconds, have Tony remark, and maybe you run the next play and you come back and finish it. But a great many times, you move on. We're there to cover the game. We're not going to ignore it. But we're not going to sit there and let the game just go on in the background as we debate what happened last fall. You can't do that.
Yeah, that's right. Awesome.
Well said. Jim, last thing for me. Obviously, it's been a crazy year in 2020 as events have moved. It'll be a little weird to have the Masters in the fall, but I'm sure you're looking forward to it.
Well, in 4 weeks from now, we'll be in Augusta getting ready for we'll be on the eve of the tournament. And, it's going to be different. I think it's just fabulous it's going to be played, that they didn't lose a year. The Open Championship decided just to cancel the year. It's going to turn out now that the other three majors get played. But here's what I say. Sure, it's going to look different. It's not going to have the spring colors. There are no fans. But once you get the competition going, it's the Masters. It's Augusta National. And cutting around from Tiger to Bryson over to Justin Thomas, McIlroy, whatever, as you're covering a golf tournament. And that course just has so many exciting points on the course where you want to be there for the second shot in the 13, the tee shot at 12, whatever it might be. We'll be cutting around creating that energy that we don't have because the fans aren't there. It's kind of the way golf has been televised. Golf has survived the way it's presented on TV, I believe, better than any sport without fans. Because, it just, for whatever reason, you don't always notice the fans. This tournament you do. The roars at Augusta are legendary. But golf looks more normal on television than I think any other sport. And once we get started on Thursday, these stories that are pre-tournament stories, no fans, playing into November, they go away. And we'll have a Masters, and someone will be wearing a green jacket on Sunday evening. I can't wait to be there.
It's going to be awesome. Hey, Jim, I just wanted to clarify one thing before we let you go. That stat I gave you where the Browns are 1-27 in Pittsburgh, that's just the regular season. The Browns have also lost twice in the playoffs there in 94 and 2002. So if you include that, they're actually 1-29. And their only win in Pittsburgh. Yeah, it's even better. And they're only, but believe it or not, their only win in Pittsburgh in a season where the Steelers made the playoffs was in 89, and they won, and the Browns won 51-0 in that game, which is amazing.
Holy cow.
Jim, you're the absolute best. We love you. We appreciate you taking the time.
I love being on with you. Listen, Dustin, Adam, thank you guys. Congratulations on 10 years together. That's a great achievement, first off. And I love coming on your show. And Tony and I are really excited about having this game. It's a regional week for us, but it's the main game on CBS. And let's hope that it's the start of a chance to see the Browns many times later this year and the years to come. And we'll do our best to give everybody a fair broadcast and one that hopefully has a lot of excitement. I think it's going to be a great one.
It is.
Thanks, guys.
Jim, you're awesome. We love you. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
Appreciate it. See you now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.